Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is our AGLCA, or America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio. I hope you're having a great day today. With us, as usual, is Steve, who does customer service and technical work, and I'm Janice. I'm the director of America's Great Loop. I'd like to mention and thank our Admiral sponsors, who are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. For those non-members out there who are listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which is, of course, the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Great Loop. Our primary purpose is to share information and enhance the overall experience for you. Our website is www.greatloop.org. There's just a load of free information for you so you can learn about the Loop. And, of course, we'd love for you to click Join Now and become a member. Please welcome our co-hosts this week, Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell, Prince Yacht Services. They are an AGLCA Lieutenant sponsor. Right now, they are providing on-the-water training to new cruisers, and they will be visiting us from the Trawler Fest in Baltimore, MD. Chris and Elise, welcome.
Well, thank you, and welcome to Baltimore and Trawler Fest. It is the most spectacular weather days that we are having right now.
Isn't it beautiful?
So many cruisers. We've seen quite a few looper flags on the bows of some of these boats, so people are in different stages of looping right now, but it's just really an exciting time to be on the water.
Fantastic. Tell us about Baltimore and the harbor.
Well, it's a special weekend. The Trawler Fest, instead of using a hotel for the classroom seminars, they've made an agreement with the World War II Liberty Ship, the John W. Brown, and they had some tugboats bring the John W. Brown to the marina where the Trawler Fest is being held, and all of the seminars and the dinners are on board that old World War II ship down inside the hold.
So you're sitting in a piece of history. It is just phenomenal. Really beautiful. And then on top of the John W. Brown being right in front of us, which is a spectacular sight to see, today is the day that they turned the Constellation around. That's one of the tall ships that's part of the historic seaport of Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And they take it out of its berth with tugboats once a year and bring her all the way out to Fort McHenry. They play a little battle with shooting the cannons off, like the War of 1812, and then they bring her back in the opposite direction so that she gets sunburned evenly.
How exciting to be able to see that. That's great.
And you don't know what's happening. They let you know what's happening because the cannons going off make you jump out of your skin.
I can imagine.
Every commercial boat and even a few pleasure boats around were giving her some salutes with their whistles. So it was very
nice.
Fantastic. A little while ago. Yeah, very pretty.
And Chris, you were aboard a tug this week, weren't you?
Yes, I'm fortunate that I used to work in the commercial marine business, and a friend of mine is the port captain for McAllister Tugs here in Baltimore.
Ah.
Through him, I was able to board the tugboat that actually pulled the John W. Brown from its home location to the Trawler Fest location. And I videoed that, and we'll have that up on our website so you can see it. It's about a 12-minute video. It took about an hour, but we only used 12 minutes of film to do it.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of interesting because you get it from the tugboat perspective on things. And I know as loopers, we experience a lot of tugs and barges, or I know on the river systems we call them tows and barges, but in Louisiana we call them tugs.
Uh-huh.
And so you experience a lot of them along the waterways, and it's kind of neat to see their perspective, what's happening, and we've got some of their radio communications and their whistle signals that they're giving, and it's just a different perspective to see. I think that it would be fun for some of us non-commercial boaters to see what they go through when they're moving something like that.
And quite, very educational for our boaters, too, I would think.
I'm sorry, say again?
Very educational for our boaters also.
Absolutely.
Educational from many different ways, but from a boater's or a looper's perspective, you have to see the trouble, not trouble, but the windage, the amount of resistance, the water depth, the prop wash, and the struggle that the tugboats have to move barges, or in this case, to move this big ship.
Uh-huh.
And it makes you gain a healthy respect that when you've got a tug and a barge pushing ahead upriver or downriver, you've got to stay away from him. You've got to stay out of his prop wash. And if you overtake him because you might be doing 6, 7, 8 knots and they're only doing 2 or 3, don't cut back in front of the barge until he can see you. If you cut back too soon, his line of sight might be restricted and he can't see you. So you need to stay in view the entire time that you overtake that tug and barge.
And something I found fascinating, they were concerned when they got into 25 feet because they were afraid that with these certain kind of nozzles that they have, that they were going to suck up debris from the bottom of the water at 25 feet.
And oh, my goodness.
They don't draw 25 feet, but they have so much suction that
uh-huh.
they pull. And here we are in our little trawlers, and we're concerned when we get to 6 feet, right?
We need to have a healthy respect for those tugs out there.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give us the address of your website where we can view the video?
It is AskCaptainChris.com. That's pretty simple to remember, www.AskCaptainChris.com. And give me a couple of days because my hands are a little busy right now with Trawler Fest.
Sure.
All the seminars that we're doing, and some of the similar seminars we'll be giving at the rendezvous that's coming up in October at Rogersville. We're very excited for that.
We're excited about it. We have a totally sold out crowd. It's going to be fantastic.
Wonderful.
Very excited about it this year. You've been doing some training too, haven't you, in the last couple of days?
Absolutely. We had 2 days of university classes with, we had 5 couples aboard a 49-foot Integrity, a single-engine boat with a bow thruster, and we did some training with the couples where we swapped roles, had sometimes they were at the helm and sometimes they were doing lines, and getting an appreciation for what it takes to work together, and allowed an opportunity to try out a different kind of boat if it's something that you were thinking about. And it was not our boat. It was a loaner. We were able to get a loaner up here. At the same time, there were a couple of other classes that were being held. So there was just a phenomenal amount of education. And it's just like the AGLCA reunion where a lot of boaters get to see each other once or twice a year because they brought their boats here, too. So it's
mm-hmm.
a city. Baltimore is a city that's bustling like crazy, but it's got a beautiful waterfront with so many different marinas. There's, I believe, 7 miles of waterfront in the Inner Harbor that's all walkable. It's all accessible to the public. There's no restriction that if you want to walk that whole 7 miles and
you
see
can
water,
do it.
You can do it. And so many museums that are here. Lots of different neighborhoods with different ethnic foods, and it's a great stopover, a great side trip, if you will, for loopers.
Sounds wonderful. I really appreciate you telling us about Baltimore. Is there a special neighborhood that's your favorite? Have you had a chance to walk around?
Well, I really like Little Italy.
Ah.
I love all the Italian food, and they've got bakeries that have phenomenal pastries and gelato, and that's my favorite. But I think Chris has a different favorite.
I like Old Fells Point, which is the original city, and Doudas, and I'll spell Doudas, D-U-D-A, Doudas. And their crab cakes are the best, in my opinion. And I'm from New Orleans, so I can speak my mind.
He's a food snob.
I'm a food snob. You can walk to Doudas from any of the marinas in Baltimore's Inner Harbor. The crab cakes are fantastic. If you know crabs, it's called back pin crab meat. And it's in a little bitty English pub in the Fells Point area. And it's terrific. Baltimore is a walking city. And that's what makes it popular for cruisers.
And the ball game the other night, the Orioles were playing, and of course, there's Ravens Stadium. All of those places are walkable from the harbor. And if you really have an itch to go to D.C., but you don't have the time to take your boat all the way up the Potomac.
Or a car.
Yeah, to take your boat all the way up the Potomac, you can hop on a train and spend the day in D.C. and then come back on the train.
Pretty oh, I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Is it expensive, Elise? Do you know how much it was?
It's really not that expensive. I know it was less than $15. It's $12 or $13 sounds about the price to me. But if you think about what it would cost you to take a car down there and then park a car, and, you know, it's just very, very convenient. We
parking in D.C. is a bear. I know that's terrible.
And just think, if you want to go to all the Smithsonians, not all of them. You couldn't possibly go to all of them in one day. But if you wanted to go to a Smithsonian for the day, you could hop on the train in the morning, and you'll see all the commuters that are doing the same thing, and then they go down sometime around 5 o'clock, the museum's closed, so you hop back on the train and come back to your boat.
Fantastic.
Really cool.
I think we're going to break for a quick commercial, if you can just hold on, Chris and Elise.
We'll be here.
What are we doing?
It's on your sheet, Steve. It's Dozier's Regatta Point.
Okay. I'm in Neverland today, so don't worry about it.
It's under Dozier's.
Yeah, I got it.
Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center lies at the mouth of Broad Creek, near the intersection of the Rappahannock River and Chesapeake Bay, surrounded by the lush green forest of Stingray Point in the community of Deltaville, Virginia, just yards from the open waters of Chesapeake Bay. Dozier's Regatta Point can best be described as classy coastal. The southern-style veranda with its incredible sunset views and white rockers is a favorite gathering place, both at sunset to watch the boats go by and in the morning when a full breakfast is served. If you're looking for an affordable oasis amidst the hustle and bustle, you don't need to look any further than Dozier's Regatta Point. For information, call 804-776-8400. Dozier's Regatta Point is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Thank you. Chris and Elise, tell us who's there. I mean, tell us more about the actual Troller Fest. What's the excitement like today?
Okay, well, today is the first day where the seminar started, and they had a welcome breakfast where the Passage Maker editor, John Wooldridge, opened up and told everyone a little bit about what they could expect with Troller Fest. And then we had the pleasure of listening to the captain of the John W. Brown speak to us about a little of the history on the John Brown and how that Liberty ship was used, obviously, in World War II. But after World War II, it was a VOTEC school in New York City. And she's had quite a few different lives, and now she's a museum.
Uh-huh.
And then some of the classes started in different sections of the boat. One of the sections is like a hold where they would load equipment down into it with a hatch removed from it. And one of the classes, they're teaching about an engine. They have a live engine in there, so that's kind of cool. There are down the main dock at Harbor View Marina, which is a very high off the water cement dock. All the vendors have their booths, so there's all kinds of different products and such. But what's really neat is that you also get to meet people from different cruising clubs and learn about what boats people are on. They'll have a trawler crawl, just like we have a looper crawl at our looper rendezvous. They've got a mixture of boats here. There are some brand new boats, but there are a significant number of brokerage boats that are used that are here for sale. And what I used to think when I owned my boat is that I didn't want to go on a boat anymore. I didn't want to see anybody else's boat because I had my boat and that was it. I didn't want to be sad by looking at some of these new boats that I wanted something different, right?
Uh-huh.
But what I now encourage people to do is go on these boats, even if you already own a boat, because you get ideas. Just like when we do the looper crawls, you get ideas
uh-huh.
what people are doing. So it might not be something that you have on your boat right now, but maybe there's either a product or something that you could adapt to work on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get ideas. And then something else that sometimes happens is you start looking around and you say, you know what? I like my boat. I like my boat better than I thought I liked my boat. When I start looking at some other boats, you realize you got used to it. You know how to work around it and such.
Oh, things. Yeah.
And it confirms that you made the right choice in the boat that you have. And our boat is a very old boat. We are 1980. I like to call her a classic. And what is encouraging is that there are some things about our boat that you still continue to see year after year on the new boats. You know, design hasn't necessarily changed
uh-huh.
in some fashion. So that's great. This afternoon we're going to do a seminar on anchoring. So that's something that I know a lot of people aren't so very comfortable doing.
Uh-huh.
And it's certainly a less expensive way to spend the night on the anchor, but it's not much fun if you don't know how to do it. So we're going to
do
be
it. There's a lot of stress doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have some of our other sponsors at the Trawler Fest this year. Do you know who's there this year?
I do. I know of a few. I know that Curtis Stokes, who I believe is an Admiral sponsor,
yes,
he is here, and Curtis has 6 boats. That's a lot of boats to be showing at this Trawler Fest, but that's exciting. He's got a lot of different types of boats, too, for people to come and look at and figure out what is right for me. Because, you know, there's a perfect boat out there for you. It's not perfect for everybody, but it's perfect for you. And this morning I saw Henry Marks from Landfall Navigation.
Fantastic.
And this afternoon Henry's going to be doing a life raft demonstration again, just like we do at the Looper Rendezvous. And Pantanius, they're one of our sponsors?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Pantanius is here. They're insurance brokers, and they can cover you all up and down the coastline. So I know that they're here. Give me a couple other names, and I'll tell you if they're here or not. I think that
we just wanted a flavor of what's going on. Is there anything in particular that you recommend people see when they come?
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. There are a couple of trailerable boats that are here. There's quite a few boats that are loopable that are terrific options that they've taken the mast and made it, you know, if it's a trawler with a mast, they've made it where it's very easy to lower the mast to get
uh-huh.
under that 19-foot bridge. And there's a lot of every afternoon, Steve D'Antonio, who's a technical editor of Passage Maker magazine, is going to be taking people into engine rooms of boats.
Interesting and necessary.
That's absolutely exciting when you get to do that, because you get to look and poke and feel around and start understanding things a little bit better, so that maybe you can do some preventative maintenance on your engines instead of waiting until it breaks and having to call somebody to help.
I didn't know if you knew, but Joanne is going to be there this afternoon.
No, I did not. I'll have to look for her.
Our sponsor services rep, Joanne, is going to be at the Trawler Fest this afternoon. She's driving up. I think it'll be late this afternoon until she gets there. But she'll be there to say hello to all of our sponsors, and that'll be great to visit with her.
Wonderful.
And unless you have anything else, I think we'll close. But if there's anything else you'd like to tell us about, that would be great.
Well, I'd be more than happy to chat with anybody that comes by and tell them about what else we have to offer here at the Trawler Fest. But we're also looking forward to coming in just a few weeks to the Rendezvous, where we're going to be doing Building Cruising Confidence, and we'll be offering our DVDs. We've got some docking DVDs, which are really exciting now, showing you how to. Single engine, and it's really, I know, one of the most interesting parts of somebody's cruise when they come into a dock. They get a little bit nervous, a little bit excited. So
Hopefully
that'll be able to quell some of that anxiety. But we're excited. We want to thank you for allowing us to chat with you today about Trawlerfest. It's just another one of the really fun things about boating.
Fantastic. Well, safe cruising as always, and we will see you in a few weeks in Rogersville, Alabama.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Safe travels, and we'll see you all on the water.
Thank you.